The Dialogue of St. Catherine of Siena, Part 11. Of the Use of Temptations, and how every soul in her extremity sees her final place either of pain or of glory, before she is separated from the body. The devil, dearest daughter, is the instrument of my justice to torment the souls who have miserably offended me, and I have sent him in this life to tempt and molest my creatures, not for my creatures to be conquered, but that they may conquer, proving their virtue, and receive from me the glory of victory. And no one should fear any battle or temptation of the devil that may come to him, because I have made my creatures strong, and have given them strength of will, fortified in the blood of my Son, which will neither devil nor creature can move, because it is yours, given by me. You, therefore, with free arbitration, can take it or leave it, according as you please. It is an arm, which, if you place it in the hands of the devil, straightway becomes a knife, with which he strikes you and slays you. But if man do not give this knife of his will into the hands of the devil, that is, if he do not consent to his temptations and molestations, he will never be injured by the guilt of sin in any temptation, but will even be fortified by it, when the eye of his intellect is open to see my love, which allowed him to be tempted, so as to arrive at virtue by being proved. For one does not arrive at virtue except through knowledge of self and knowledge of me, which knowledge is more perfectly acquired in the time of temptation, because then man knows himself to be nothing, unable to lift off himself the pains and vexations which he would flee. And he knows me in his will, which is fortified by my goodness, so that it does not yield to these thoughts. And he has seen that my love permits these temptations, for the devil is weak, and by himself can do nothing unless I allow him. And I let him tempt, through love, and not through hatred, that you may conquer, and not that you may be conquered, and that you may come to a perfect knowledge of yourself and of me, and that virtue may be proved, for it is not proved except by its contrary. You see, then, that he is my minister to torture the damned in hell, and in this life to exercise and prove virtue in the soul. Not that it is the intention of the devil to prove virtue in you, for he has not love, but rather to deprive you of it. And this he cannot do, if you do not wish it. Now you see, then, how great is the foolishness of men in making themselves feeble, when I have made them strong, and in putting themselves into the hands of the devil. Wherefore, know that at the moment of death, they, having passed their life under the lordship of the devil, not that they were forced to do so, for as I told you, they cannot be forced, but they voluntarily put themselves in his hands, and arriving at the extremity of their death under this perverse lordship, they await no other judgment than that of their own conscience, and desperately, despairingly, come to eternal damnation. Wherefore hell, through their hate, surges up to them in the extremity of death, and before they get there, they take hold of it by means of their lord the devil. As the righteous, who have lived in charity and died in love, if they have lived perfectly in virtue, illuminated with the light of faith, with perfect hope in the blood of the Lamb, when the extremity of death comes, see the good which I have prepared for them, and embrace it with the arms of love, holding fast with pressure of love to me the supreme and eternal good. And so they taste eternal life before they have left the mortal body, that is, before the soul be separated from the body. Others, who have passed their lives and have arrived at the last extremity of death with an ordinary charity, not in that great perfection, embrace my mercy with the same light of faith and hope that had those perfect ones. But in them it is imperfect, for because they were imperfect, they constrained my mercy, counting my mercy greater than their sins. The wicked sinners do the contrary, for seeing with desperation their damnation, they embrace it with hatred, as I told you. So that neither the one nor the other waits for judgment, But in departing this life, they receive every one their place, as I have told you, and they taste it and possess it before they depart from the body, at the extremity of death, the damned with hatred and despair, and the perfect ones with love and the light of faith and the hope of the blood. And the imperfect arrive at the place of purgatory, with mercy and the same faith. How the devil gets hold of souls under pretext of some good, and how those are deceived who keep by the river and not by the aforesaid bridge, for wishing to fly from pains, they fall into them, and of the vision of a tree that this soul once had. I have told you that the devil invites men to the water of death, that is, to that which he has, and blinding them with the pleasures and the conditions of the world, he catches them with the hook of pleasure, under the pretext of good. Because in no other way could he catch them, for they would not allow themselves to be caught if they saw that no good or pleasure to themselves were to be obtained thereby. For the soul, by her nature, always relishes good, though it is true that the soul, blinded by self-love, does not know and discern what is true good and of profit to the soul and to the body. And therefore the devil, seeing them blinded by self-love, iniquitously places before them diverse and various delights, colored so as to have the appearance of some benefit or good. And he gives to every one according to his condition, and those principal vices to which he sees him to be most disposed, of one kind to the secular, of another to the religious, and others to prelates and noblemen, according to their different conditions. I have told you this, because I now speak to you of those who drown themselves in the river, and who care for nothing but themselves, to love themselves to my injury, and I will relate to you their end. Now I want to show you how they deceive themselves, and how, wishing to flee troubles, they fall into them. For because it seems to them that following me, that is, walking by the way of the bridge, the word, my son, is great toil, they draw back, fearing the thorn. This is because they are blinded and do not know or see the truth, as, you know, I showed you in the beginning of your life, when you prayed me to have mercy on the world and draw it out of the darkness of mortal sin. You know that I then showed you myself under the figure of a tree, of which you saw neither the beginning nor the end, so that you did not see that the roots were united with the earth of your humanity. At the foot of the tree, if you remember well, there was a certain thorn, from which thorn all those who love their own sensuality kept away, and ran to a mountain called Lala, in which you figured to yourself all the delights of the world. That Lala seemed to be of corn, and was not, and therefore, as you saw, many souls thereon died of hunger, and many, recognizing the deceits of the world, returned to the tree and passed the thorn, which is the deliberation of the will, which deliberation, before it is made, is a thorn which appears to man to stand in the way of following the truth. And conscience always fights on one side, and sensuality on the other. But as soon as he, with hatred and displeasure of himself, manfully makes up his mind, saying, I wish to follow Christ crucified, he breaks at once the thorn, and finds inestimable sweetness, as I showed you then, some finding more and some less, according to their disposition and desire. And you know that then I said to you, I am your God, unmoving and unchangeable, and I do not draw away from any creature who wants to come to me. I have shown them the truth, making myself visible to them, and I have shown them what it is to love anything without me. But they, as if blinded by the fog of disordinate love, know neither me nor themselves. You see how deceived they are, choosing rather to die of hunger than to pass a little thorn. And they cannot escape enduring pain, for no one can pass through this life without a cross, far less those who travel by the lower way. Not that my servants pass without pain, but their pain is alleviated. And because, by sin, as I said to you above, the world germinates thorns and tribulations, and because this river flows with tempestuous waters, I gave you the bridge, so that you might not be drowned. I have shown you how they are deceived by a disordinate fear, and how I am your God, immovable, who am not an acceptor of persons, but of holy desire. And this I have shown you under the figure of the tree, as I have told you. How the world, having germinated thorns, who those are whom they do not harm, though no one passes this life without pain. Now, I want to show you to whom the thorns and tribulations that the world germinated through sin do harm, and to whom they do not. And as so far I have shown you the damnation of sinners together with my goodness, and have told you how they are deceived by their own sensuality, now I wish to tell you how it is that only they themselves are injured by the thorns. No one born passes this life without pain, bodily or mental. Bodily pain my servants bear, but their minds are free. That is, they do not feel the weariness of the pain, for their will is accorded with mine, and it is the will that gives trouble to man. Pain of mind and body have those of whom I have narrated to you, who in this life taste the earnest money of hell, as my servants taste the earnest money of eternal life. Do you know what is the special good of the blessed ones? It is having their desire filled with what they desire. Wherefore, desiring me, they have me, and taste me without any revolt, for they have left the burden of the body, which was a law that opposed the spirit, and came between it and the perfect knowledge of the truth, preventing it from seeing me face to face. But after the soul has left the weight of the body, her desire is full. For desiring to see me, she sees me, in which vision is her bliss, and seeing she knows, and knowing she loves, and loving she tastes me, supreme and eternal good, and in tasting me she is satisfied, and her desire is fulfilled, that is, the desire she had to see and know me. Wherefore desiring she has, and having she desires. And as I told you, pain is far from the desire, and weariness from the satisfaction of it. So you see that my servants are blessed principally in seeing and in knowing me, in which vision and knowledge their will is fulfilled, for they have that which they desired to have, and so they are satisfied. Wherefore I told you that the tasting of eternal life consisted especially in having that which the will desires, and thus being satisfied. But know that the will is satisfied in seeing and knowing me, as I have told you. In this life, then, they taste the earnest money of eternal life, tasting the above, with which I have told you they will be satisfied. But how have they the earnest money in this present life? I reply to you, they have it in seeing my goodness in themselves, and in the knowledge of my truth, which knowledge, the intellect, which is the eye of the soul, illuminated in me, possesses. This eye has the pupil of the most holy faith, which light of faith enables the soul to discern, to know, and to follow the way and the doctrine of my truth, the Word incarnate. And without this pupil of faith she would not see, except as a man who has the form of the eye, but who has covered the pupil, which causes the eye to see, with a cloth. So the pupil of the intellect is faith, and if the soul has covered it with the cloth of infidelity, drawn over it by self-love, she does not see, but only has the form of the eye without the light, because she has hidden it. Thus you see that in seeing they know, and in knowing they love, and in loving they deny and lose their self-will. Their own will lost, they clothe themselves in mine, and I will nothing but your sanctification. At once they set to, turning their back to the way below, and begin to ascend by the bridge, and pass over the thorns which do not hurt them, their feet being shod with the affection of my love. For I told you that my servants suffered corporally, but not mentally, because the sensitive will, which gives pain and afflicts the mind of the creature, is dead. Wherefore, the will not being there, neither is there any pain. They bear everything with reverence, deeming themselves favored in having tribulation for my sake, and they desire nothing but what I desire. If I allow the devil to trouble them, permitting temptations to prove them in virtue, as I told you above, they resist with their will fortified in me, humiliating themselves, and deeming themselves unworthy of peace and quiet of mind, and deserving of pain. And so they proceed with cheerfulness and self-knowledge, without painful affliction. And if tribulations on man's account, or infirmity, or poverty, or change of worldly condition, or loss of children, or of other much-loved creatures, all of which are thorns that the earth produced after sin, come upon them, they endure them all with the light of reason and holy faith, looking to me, who am the supreme good, and who cannot desire other than good, for which I permit these tribulations through love, and not through hatred. And they who love me recognize this, and examining themselves, they see their sins, and understand by the light of faith that good must be rewarded and evil punished. And they see that every little sin merits infinite pain, because it is against me, who am infinite good. Wherefore they deem themselves favored, because I wish to punish them in this life, and in this finite time. They drive away sin with contrition of heart, and with perfect patience do they merit, and their labors are rewarded with infinite good. Hereafter they know that all labor in this life is small, on account of the shortness of time. Time is as the point of a needle, and no more. And when time is past, labor is ended. Therefore you see that the labor is small. They endure with patience, and the thorns they pass through do not touch their heart, because their heart is drawn out of them and united to me by the affection of love. It is a good truth, then, that these do taste eternal life, receiving the earnest money of it in this life, and that though they walk on thorns, they are not pricked, because, as I told you, they have known my supreme goodness, and sought for it where it was to be found, that is, in the Word, my only begotten Son.